Kenton is going to share about discipleship today, which I'm really excited about. But before he does, I'd love to have Andy come share a testimony. You guys better catch up. Andy's getting all the testimonies around about here. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Now, last time, I actually felt like Andy kind of held back on his testimony a little bit. So, Andy, don't you hold back at all.
Amen.
Okay? Because your testimony is going to release and prophesy exactly what is going to happen to others. You guys can start recording if you haven't. Here's Andy's testimony.
Yeah, so financial testimony, tithe testimony, and it's particularly about what it says in Malachi 3, what God told us in Malachi 3, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Week before last, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as I was driving to and from work, probably going, 70, 75 miles an hour in the Corolla, every little bump or like transfer between bridges and things like that, you guys know the spots, we're like, okay. I would hear this sound coming from like, seemed like the front passenger side, like suspension type of thing. I'm an engineer, so maybe I kind of understand what's going on there. And so I'm like, dang, this didn't used to make this sound. It's not supposed to make this sound. Seemingly something's going wrong. So we had we were due for an oil change that weekend. So I called it up, scheduled it, and I said, yeah, also there's this sound that the car's not supposed to be making, and I'm hearing it's been consistent out every day. And so I even took a video, like just recording in the car. Because, I'm like, let me just, something like, I don't know if it'll come through. But. Have you heard that? Okay, so I don't have to belabor you with that. But I was like, all right, I'll go in. I'll go to the mechanic and be like, all right, this is the sound I'm hearing. So we go drop it off on Saturday. And so what I want you to get from this is kind of two really good principles, and then you can like set your hope in that. And there's also kind of a learning point in it too that I've learned from. So when we prepare our tithe in the morning, and like Anna now even, she'll be like, let's pray for the tithe. She came out of the garage this morning. Let's pray for the tithe before we go to church. And among the things we pray is we say, in your word says, you will rebuke the devourer for our sakes, and we thank you for that now. You rebuke the devourer over, home repairs, over car repairs, over our health in the name of Jesus. So that's one thing we do. And then after, so we drove like two separate cars, dropped the car off. We're driving back and we're just like, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. You rebuke the devourer for our sakes. There will not be any, negative hit from this. But still at the same time, I'm like, but there's something wrong with it. Like, I've been hearing that noise now for 4 days. It wasn't making that noise. Okay. So it's getting to like close to closing time for the shop on Saturday. And finally, I get the call, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're about done buttoning it up. And we drove that thing around everywhere, and we never heard the sound. Oh, let me back up. I recorded the video, right? I walk into the shop. I give him my keys, and I say, let me play you the video so you just know what the sound is. My phone will not play sound. Wouldn't play a sound. I tried to pull up like a Facebook video and play sound. No sound would come from my phone. I think literally the Lord was just moving. He said, no, I've rebuked that devourer. Don't even tell them about this. It's taken care of. I'm serious. My phone would not play sound. Later that day, sound, no problem. All right. So get the call Saturday. They're like, we drove the car around everywhere, and we couldn't hear the sound. And this is kind of the learning point. The Lord's shown me, like, you almost messed that one up. My immediate reaction was like, guys, I've heard the sound for 4 days. Like, the sound is there. That was my honest reaction. I was like, I want you to find out what this is and fix it. I should have been like, praise you, Lord. You rebuked the devourer. It's done. But just being honest, that wasn't what first popped into my head. So we drive the car home. It was really only happening at highway speed. So then Laura drove the car to work Monday. She gets back Monday. I'm like, so did you hear that sound? She's like, no, I didn't hear the sound. I drive the car to work Tuesday. There's no sound. There's no more sound. Every day since then, there's no sound. There's no issue with the car. We didn't pay anything for it. The Lord rebuked the devourer for our sakes. Your car ain't going to be breaking down and costing you money. Your house isn't going to be breaking down. You're not going to have medical bills piling up. That's what you can speak into in saying, you rebuke the devourer for our sakes. All his promises are yes and amen, and they work together. He wants you healthy and healed, and he also doesn't want you paying all these bills for that either. Amen. All right?
Hello?
Oh, it works. That was an awesome testimony. I am really excited to continue the discussion on discipleship. I really feel like the Lord has highlighted this, at least for me. And it's been really, really fun exploring this even deeper and then kind of sharing my findings with you guys. So we're going to review just a little bit. If you guys remember, we've been talking about that mentorship, discipleship, the plus ones, the neutrals, and the minus ones, right? The minus ones are, those are the disciples, your mentees, or your children. Your neutrals are peer-to-peer. This is where a lot of life happens. And if I can plug House Church, this is what happens at House Church, is that your cheering section, your fan club, comes around you, and it cheers you on. It's iron sharpens iron. This is where I get to sit down with people like Brian Mangersheen, who has a vast amount of experience in managing people. And I bounce things off of him. And he's just imparting what he's acquired, the wisdom that he has. Here you go. It's free. Yep. This one's on me. Yep. Right? And vice versa. I get to share some of my, you know, life experiences, the wisdom, the favor that God's given me. I get to, you know, return it back. Then you have your plus ones. These are the more seasoned players in this group, right? These are the disciplers. And we've also been talking about how you need to have an outlet as well as an inlet. Otherwise, if you just have an inlet, you become the Dead Sea. It can't support life, right? It has to keep flowing through you. So why discipleship? We're going to explore this a little, tease this out a little bit and explore it a little bit more. Well, number one, Jesus modeled this when he drew 12 to himself, right? He even called them his disciples. Why discipleship? It's a way to grow the kingdom exponentially. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you have one disciple, you're not growing anything. You're just replacing yourself. But if you have two, all of a sudden things multiplied. Because those two, they can find another two. And they can find another two. And all of a sudden, within a generation, you could have 8 people that you've influenced, impacted, affected permanently. Their destinies are changed. It's how the values and culture of the kingdom get transferred to another generation. Discipleship. Why discipleship? It's how favor and inheritance get passed down from one generation to another. Why discipleship? It's giving someone the tools to manage that inheritance. An inheritance, either spiritual or material, it should never be consumed. It should be re-sown. And if you give someone an inheritance, a blessing, without the tools to manage it, it can become destructive. Right? If I were to accumulate a vast amount of wealth, and to my children, I give, here you go, 10 million, 10 million, right? We're just playing a hypothetical. And I don't give them the resources, the wisdom, the know-how to manage that level of wealth, it will destroy them. And it can be the same with a spiritual inheritance as well. You raise someone up who has all the attributes of leadership, but they're lacking humility, that gift will possess them and destroy them if they don't have the humility to handle that. You're also creating an outflow so the inheritance doesn't die, right? Like the in the Dead Sea. You're teaching them. You're creating them. You need to have an outflow as well for the things that I'm building into you to flow out. What is discipleship? We've discussed this a little bit, but discipleship, it's different for plus ones and for minus ones, right? For plus ones, it's breaking off a piece of your life and sharing it with someone. It's taking the life lessons, wisdom, values, favor, and covering, and it's imparting it to someone else. It's fathering and mothering. If you're a father, or if you're a parent, you're also a discipler. You're a plus one. Whether you like it or not, whether you see yourself as one. I mean, you might try to be buddy-buddy with your child, but you are a plus one to them, right? They need you. Our children need us not to be buddy-buddy, but we need to be plus ones, right? It's passing along the tools and keys necessary for unlocking your destiny or their destiny, right? And I'm gonna explore this a little bit more later. As a minus one, it looks different. Because as a minus one, it's in humility coming into the sphere of influence and covering of someone who has more favor than you and receiving that impartation of life. That was really good. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes it takes us 7 times to hear something before we get it. I'm going to give you 2 times this morning. All right? You're going to have to, you should be writing this down. This is amazing. In humility, as a minus one, in humility, coming into the sphere of influence and the covering of someone who has more favor than you and receiving the impartation of life. For children, it's just simply submitting to your parents and making the choice to stay under their covering. So I want to get into some hows as well, like tips, right? Tips for minus ones. Embrace humility. Clothe yourself in it. In 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." Right? Likewise, you minus ones, submit yourselves to your plus ones.
Come on, that's good.
Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. For a minus one, it's serving the needs, purpose, vision, and values of your plus one. For a minus one, it's serving the needs, purpose, vision, values of your plus one. And scripture gives us some clues. So I wanted to find a couple models in scripture that had like this plus one, minus one dynamic going on. So I immediately thought of Moses and Joshua. Right? That's a good one. I also thought of Elijah and Elisha. And then I thought of Paul and Timothy. So I'm going to kind of find some clues in there, and we're going to tease this out. Think about Moses. He was called to lead a nation of Israel from slavery into a promised land. Right? And so God actually was able to get Pharaoh to release them. They start wandering in the desert, cross the Red Sea, get to the other side. Pharaoh comes after him, gets drowned in the Red Sea. We know the story. You guys tracking with me? He gets on the other side, and now it's like, okay, good. We don't have any pursuers. We're kind of free from that. And all the people start bringing all their problems to him. And all day long, he sits there as judge over the people, judging all their drama. And we know, if you've read it at all, that these people had a lot of drama going on. I mean, think about it. They were in slavery. They weren't owners of anything. They had a poverty mindset. I mean, it took them like 40 years to get that out of their system. They still didn't get it all out. And so here's Moses, right? Just judging day in and day out, wearing himself out. I think he even says that. Because his father-in-law Jethro comes, and he's like, "Son, you got to do something different. This is not working for you. You're going to wear yourself out." And so he gives him instructions. "You should find some guys to oversee the, 50, 100. Let them deal with all the drama. Let them bring all the difficult things to you so you can be at rest." Good advice. He takes it. Well, it also, in Exodus 24:13, this is where Joshua enters the picture for the first time that I know of in scripture. And it says, basically, Moses takes his assistant, Joshua, and goes up the mountain to receive the law, the Ten Commandments, the instructions on the tabernacle. I had no idea Joshua was up there with him, but it's there. Someone that he could trust, someone that he could take impart life to, life on life, right? It speaks to that plus one, minus one. There's even more to that that I'm going to unpack later. But he was the only person to go up the mountain with Moses to receive, to meet with God face to face. Come on, for 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua's there. Getting to experience, getting an inside view of what was going on, of how God spoke to Moses as a man, face to face. In 1 Kings, Elijah, he's in the office of a prophet, right? There's prophetic types, and then there's people who are prophets, that they hold an office. And he's walking along, sees Elisha plowing a field with a whole bunch of oxen, takes off his mantle, I don't even know what that looks like, and tosses it on him. Right? There's some prophetic symbolism going on. Finally, Elisha says goodbye to his parents, does some other prophetic things, I don't even know, and then comes and becomes his servant, it says in 1 Kings 19:21, becomes his servant. That word is actually the same word as it was used for Joshua as Moses' assistant. And it means to minister. It's also the same word used when the priest would minister to the Lord, to minister to his needs, to cover his needs, right? As a servant, a minister, an assistant. So some tips for minus one. When you find your plus one, ask yourself, what value can I add to their life? Right? This, hopefully your plus one has a lot going for them. Right? But what skill set do you have? What can you contribute to the plus ones? How can you pray for them? I'd like to spend some time with you, but I realize you're busy. Well, maybe I could come over and help fold laundry? Mow your lawn? What about watching your kids? What about just bringing supper? Maybe your skill set is baking pies. Take them a pie, right? I have a skill set. I'm an electrician. What, you got some light bulbs? Let me go change your lights, right? Find something that you can add value to their life. So it's not just bringing it in, right? You're not just draining them, but you're adding value back to them. Seek out plus ones. If you are a minus one, seek out plus ones with something that you might need help with, like a breakthrough that you're looking for. What does this plus one, what kind of favor does he walk in and possess? Because that's what I'm going for. You know, for me, like academic counsel is really not something I need at the moment. You know, it's not relevant to my life right now. But this last week, I got a phone call from someone on the board of the Independent Electrical Contractors, right? He's going into a board meeting, and he asked me, hey, you're a new member. What kind of things should we be bringing up and talking about? What can I go to bat for you when I go into this board meeting? And so, you know, I'm telling him a few things, and I ask him, hey, what's your story? You know, he said, well, I'm a third-generation electrical contractor. My grandpa, my father and myself, we've been in this trade a long time. Now that's relevant, yes. Right? Yep. Wow, I have so many questions for you. I would love to grab a cup of coffee with you and talk. In fact, you could come over to our shop. I'd be happy to give you our standard operating procedures for this, that, and the other, our processes. If we have any tools I could loan you, no problem. You could see what we do day in and day out. For the price of a cup of coffee, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's a plus one. Yeah, I'm going to go after that one. Academic counsel, maybe not so much, right? Someone who's been a parent for a very long time, and you can see, like, we had some really wise counsel back in the day. They said, before you listen to someone's advice, look at the fruit of their life. You know, look at their children. Wow, they're walking with the Lord? Huh, I want to go hang out with you. You know, that is very relevant for us in this season of life. Finding a father or mother whose children are faithful, who love the Lord with all their hearts. I need a plus one That's very relevant, right? So some tips for plus ones. Number one, believe that you have something to give, because you do.
Amen.
You absolutely do. You might have just received the Lord last week and had a conversion experience, but there's a lot of people who haven't had that conversion experience. Let me show you how this works. Because
yep.
This stuff is real, right? It might not be a long-term, you know, walk with the person for the rest of their lives, but you can disciple them in that, right? Pray for your minus ones. Cover them in prayer and favor. See your minus ones through a prophetic lens, speaking to their destiny and reminding them of who they're called to be. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, Paul and Timothy, he wrote two letters to him that became scripture.
Wow. Come on.
Talk about discipleship, right? I mean, Paul takes Timothy, sees something in him, puts him over a church in Ephesus, and then hightails it out of there. And then he writes him a couple letters and like, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, right? Hey, this is what you should probably do with deacons and, you know, how to worship. And he's telling him, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night, right? Covering your minus one in prayers.
Yeah.
Day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, we're talking about generational here, your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Right? He's teaching them how to handle the favor that was passed down, the inheritance generation to generation. Therefore, what is it therefore? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, impartation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There's a lot packed in that passage right there. If you look at it through the lens of discipleship, right? He is calling forth the prophetic gift. He's calling forth the giftings that is evident in his grandmother, his mother, and now I'm persuaded exists in you also, right? And he's saying, and by the way, remember also the impartation that I gave you?
Stir it up.
You know, it's there. It hasn't left you. Come on, bring it to the surface. Here's another tip. Assume that it is the heart of the Father that our minus ones outgrow us. I mean, this is straight from the mouth of Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is in John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. You know, it doesn't always happen that the minus ones outgrow the plus ones, but I still think it's the heart of the Father. You can't control that. As parents, it is my desire, my passion, that my children stand on my shoulders to reach higher heights and see further. That my ceiling becomes their floor. In order to do that, you have to rid yourself of insecurity. Like, it's totally fine for our children to outgrow us. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, imagine a doctor, a general practitioner, whose son becomes a surgeon, right? There's the temptation that your head of the house status, right? That which you deemed valuable, that I'm a doctor, went to school for a long time, and I held this position for a long time, now my son becomes a surgeon, right? You know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. Good for him. Don't feel threatened by your son's success, your daughter's success.
Amen.
Like, it's supposed to happen that way. In fact, the inheritance that you leave, that you're supposed to leave them inheritance. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
As much as you can. They're not supposed to consume it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That'll destroy them. Mm-hmm. Re-sow it. Let it live, let it grow. Mm-hmm. Right? Multiply exponentially for the next generation, You can impact, influence, and bring change through wealth. You really can. Invite people to your inner circle as a plus one. When you are in proximity to someone who has incredible amounts of favor on their lives, amazing things start to happen in your own life. So 9 years ago or so, my wife and I, we attended Vineyard Columbus. This was before coming here. And through happenstance, we were invited by one of the small group pastor into this inner circle that he called 12 for 12. And he had so much inside of him that he just was bursting forth. He had to get it out. That he found 12 young people who were kind of movers and shakers, both in the marketplace and in church. And we would meet once a month for 12 months. 12 for 12. 12 people for 12 months. And I remember sitting there, because there's a whole bunch of neutrals there with you, right? And then there's a couple plus ones, him and his wife. And I still remember the words coming out of his mouth. And they played an incredible impact and transformation. My life will never be the same. My life will never be the same, because we came under this covering of favor for that year. And we got to walk it out. We got to see it modeled for us. And we got to see other people. And we would celebrate their successes. And it was incredible. Also during this season, I was invited on a ministry trip to Turkey with another Vineyard pastor from another city. He just wanted to bring someone every year as he goes on this ministry trip. It was my first exposure during that trip to prophetic ministry. And I don't know if he went about this the right way, but he like threw me in the deep end. and so this is how it started. The first night he said, hey, I want you to look around the room. This is during worship. And just see what God wants to say over a couple people and get a word for him. How do you do that? I have no idea. No, just stand against the wall with your back against the wall, right? And just kind of like as people are worshiping, like God will show you. He'll give you a word. Write it down. And I did. And it was like all of a sudden the prophetic was activated in me that I had never had that experience before. Right, but I had seen some of it modeled in this 12 for 12. And all of a sudden, now I'm set up, thrown into the deep end. Here's a couple pieces of wood, make a raft, you know? And for the next 10 or 12 days, because I prophesied for the first time over someone. And I believe their destiny was changed. Like in a very, very powerful way. And afterwards, you know, we're back in the hotel room and I'm like, what was that? And he's like, well, let me tell you. And we'd stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning. This is an older man. He's in his 60s and he's sharing with me about prophetic ministry. This man had ministered with John Wimber in the early days of the Vineyard movement during these signs and wonders conferences. Talk about a spiritual inheritance, right? And he's telling me about these incredible miracles that would happen during these conferences. And, you know, and obviously there's some drama, obviously, that happened as well. But he's telling me about these different prophets and this, that, and that. I mean, until 2 or 3 in the morning. I didn't sleep hardly at all during that trip. Because he also snored. Right? So word to the wise, if you go on a ministry trip, take some sort of white noise. Right? Powerful, life-changing. I haven't had much contact with him since. But that also opened the door to go minister again with another guy in California. Incredibly powerful. And that experience opened the door for us to come to this body. And we were invited, because of that experience, we were invited to come here. Here we are. That's been a long time ago. This all came through proximity to someone who saw something in us and invited us in. And our lives will never be the same. Never, never, never. You know, our body is overflowing. I mean, overflowing with talents, gifts, and influence in the arts, business, education, parenting. I think it's really time to prepare ourselves to extend our influence through discipleship. Amen.
Amen.
He's pretty good at that. Come on, I love it. I have a friend, very powerful minister, another stream than this. He was asking me one time, he was telling me one time how some mentors of his aren't really like in his great relationship with him anymore. Threatened. I started telling him how Brad had raised me up and how Mark Crawford had raised me up in a way that just never came into the equation. Celebrating. Isn't that awesome? That's the heart of the father. Fathers and mothers are both a covering and a foundation. At the same time, covering and a foundation. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They get trampled all over so that you can stand taller. Right? Servant. Okay, here's what I'd like to do, but you can't do this unless you have faith for it. It'll mess your life up. Very simple prayer, but you got to think before you do it. Today might not be the time to do it. But what I want to encourage you to pray is a prayer that I thought to pray about 2 or 3 years ago, and then instantly, within about a month, I had 6. God, give me my disciples. And I was saying 6 in addition to the church. Just people came out of the woodwork saying, hey, Mr. Wood, I'd really like to meet with you. Hey, Peter, could I meet with you? I feel like you've got something to give me. Hey, could we get together for coffee? I'd really like to glean some things from you. Right? Instantly with, you have not because you? So my question for you is, do you want them? There's orphans all round about. They're looking for mommies and daddies that can sow into them, not because you're higher than them, but because you're also a son and daughter. And therefore, you can at the same time be both a covering and a floor. You can pray for them, you can see their potential, and you can support them. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. We're not going to do it together because you got to choose if you want to do it. Okay? But I'll just pray the prayer that has already been prayed for me. It's on my heart. But in Jesus' name, God, I ask for my disciples. Thank you, Lord. You know, you ask anything according to his will, you know that he's heard you and you have what you've asked. That's according to his will. Okay, here's what I'd like to do. If you would like any ministry for any reason, if you'd like to be healed of something, if you just want another prophetic word because you're hungry for another one, come on up. Put someone on the spot up here. Ask for him for a word, okay? If you need a dream that needs interpreted, come on up. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up. If the thought of discipling makes you want to run out of the door, come on up. I'll minister to you. Okay, God bless you. Give Kenton a round of applause again. Great job.